I think you are, all of us are aware that we have started a new series on the Christian vocabulary, or sometimes known as the Christian fundamentals, right? We tend to use all these words quite frequently in when we pray or when we speak to one another. We use the word commitment, right? We use the word forgiveness. We use the word contentment. We use the word God's mercy. You know, we pray for you. And these are some of the vocabulary that you tend to see when you go to a church, right? Even when you pray, that's some of the vocab that happens in the church. You know, when you look at these words, they're very important for us, right? Because it talks to us about some of the Christian fundamentals, because that's what we are, who we are, and how God expects in our life. Today, we will be looking at the word, right, forgiveness, Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. Thank God today I have 2 hours to preach. I'm just joking. I know you are going to forgive me today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day, O God, that we can come together as a church. We thank you for the forgiveness, O God, that we experience each and every moment when we approach your throne of grace. We pray that even today, God, we want to be like Christ. We want to love you, God. We want to love people the way you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We learn a lot of things from kids. A Sunday school teacher went to the class, and you know she was concluding a lesson on forgiveness and also about sin and all that. And then she asked the class, and this was the question she asked the class. She said, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" Very simple question, right? She said, "Can anyone tell you what you do, what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness of sin?" And someone in the class, very profound answer, the person said at the back of the class, you know, "Teacher, you must sin, then you can exercise, you can have forgiveness of sin." I think all of us have sinned in one way or another, right? Sometimes we struggle with these things in our life, right? We ask, you know, "I've committed sin, right? Will God forgive me? You know, I've been doing this often in my life. Will God stretch his hand of forgiveness upon me that I can be forgiven?" We tend to struggle. Right? We tend to struggle. And because we struggle, it leads us to a lot of things, right? We feel depressed. We feel there's no peace. We feel we are struggling because, you know, will God forgive me from all these things that I've been doing? I've asked for forgiveness. And not only that, I think what's happening here, you know, it's hard for us to forgive, right? I do not know, you know, it's hard. Let me tell you, it's hard for us to forgive because we are still human beings. If we realize as human beings, we are hardwired in such a way that we tend to retaliate, right? When someone speaks against us and someone harms us in their words or deeds, you know, the natural way of response is we want to retaliate. We want to show vengeance, right? We want to show that we are not happy in what the person have done. So we expect the person to come forward, right, in a repentant heart. And even then, it is difficult for us, right? So it's a very hard topic, you know, when you talk about forgiveness. But the passage is a passage that talks to us about forgiveness. You know, C.S. Lewis, a great writer, said, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea, right? Until they have something to forgive." It's wonderful to use that word, "Lord, forgive me," right? I forgive you. But let me tell you, it's a struggle, right? It's a struggle for us to forgive. The particular passage that we are going today is a passage that where Peter is coming to Jesus, right? Sometimes I wonder why Peter is asking this question, because maybe he's asking questions because Jesus was giving a discourse. And there were 5 great discourses that Jesus was doing. And this is one of the great discourses that you find it in Matthew chapter 18. Probably he was asking because he wanted to clarify certain teachings of Jesus. He wanted to know, "Lord, this is the question I have about forgiveness." Or maybe Peter was struggling because you know that Peter is always a guy who wants to be on the forefront, right? He wants to be the leader. And sometimes as leaders, you know, you tend to step the toes of other people. Or maybe he have offended Thomas, or he might have offended John, right? he might have offended other people in his group. And so maybe they were just staring at him, and he doesn't know how do I deal with my fellow brothers that who are in the same group with me. And maybe because of that, he's coming to Jesus and asking the question. So I think it's an important thing that we tend to struggle in our Christian life too. When you look at Matthew chapter 18, you know, just to give you some things about Matthew chapter 18, when you look at it very carefully, it's particular passage that we have read today, it's a forgiveness of a repentant sinner, right? But in verses 15 to 20, you see the goal of discipline, right? There where the person is called, the person is spoken to by a group of people, two of them, and if the person is not repentant, you know, the person can be excommunicated by in the fellowship too, right? That's a different thing to look at. Here, it's the forgiveness of the repentant sinner that Jesus is talking about. And Peter is coming and asking, Lord, what should I do, right? How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister I know, right, who sins against me up to seven times? Imagine he's asking Jesus the question at the same time. He's also answering the questions, right? And so he's saying, Lord, should I know seven times? Because in the Jewish culture, it's only three times, right? Only three times you forgive someone, not more than three. Sometimes it's good to be a Jew because you can only forgive three times. The fourth time you don't forgive, right? But that was the way the Jews always practiced, only three times. But then, you know, Peter, as you know, he's always wanted to be the forefront, right? He wants to be, probably he wanted some kind of attention. He's just doubling it by saying, like, not only six, but another one more. Because in our culture, seven is perfect number. So he plus another three, six plus one, right? Seven, he says, Lord, seven times. And I was just thinking for a moment, maybe as you know Peter's character, maybe he is just waiting for Jesus to say, you know, well done, Peter. You have learned the lesson well, right? You are maybe ahead of me, ahead of the master. Maybe he was waiting for such an answer. But Jesus is actually teaching him, you know, something much more bigger, much more greater. It's not just seven times, Peter, right? It's not six plus, you know, plus one. If you look at the passage, Jesus is not really just answering his question, but wanting Peter to see the bigger picture of God's forgiveness. He's wanting Peter to see, if you have experienced God's forgiveness, you have truly know how God forgives, you will not count. It is not 70 times 7, right? It's not 470. It's more than that, because you can't keep track of the number of times. So Jesus is wanting Peter to see how God has forgiven us. And we need to be living a life because God has forgiven us. By the way, this parable, you know, it's a very tricky parable, because if you look at it, you might say, you know, Pastor, if you say this, you know, the master is putting this man to the prison, right? He's the master, he's trying to sell the wife and the kids, you know, doesn't sound like God, and right. So it's a very tricky, it's a very confusing, can be a parable of that nature. But one of the main motive is to learn some things about God. At the same time, you know, how do you look at situations like this, right? It doesn't really resemble, you know, God, because God is not so bad that he will throw the wife or sell the kids and the wife. But I think there are certain lessons that Jesus wants us to pick up from this particular passage. Firstly, let's look at the passage very carefully. And so Jesus is answering, right? And says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Forgiveness we receive from God. And that's the first lesson that Jesus is teaching from this particular passage, that we receive from God. And what kind of forgiveness? We tell God, Lord, forgive me. And we think, you know, God has forgiven us. But do you ever realize how much God has forgiven us? It's not just the one or the two sins, you know, that God has forgiven us. Look at the passage very carefully. Like it says, as he began the settlement. In other words, I think the king, right, the master calls the servant and he wants to take an account, right? And so in verse 24, it says, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold or 10,000 talents, right, in certain versions, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Can you imagine? The master comes, he wants to see the accounts, and he realizes this particular man, one of his servants, had been slowly, you know, drawing money out from the treasury, right? It's not 100 talents or 100 bags of gold. It's 10,000. You know, when you look at the amount, it is, you know, maybe pastor, it's just $10,000. But one talent in those days, it is equivalent to 20 years of labor, of 20 years of work. Do your math, right? One talent in those days was equivalent to 20 years of work. So this man took 10,000 talents away from the master. That's such a huge amount that he took. I was looking at certain, in those days, in those provinces, what was happening in the province of Galilee. Galilee was a wealthy, wealthy province. You know, their yearly income was only 300 talents. The province of Galilee, their yearly income was only 300 talents. But this man was not, you know, it is not a debt. He was literally robbing God, the master. He was stealing the things that doesn't belong to him. Right? Galilee was only 300. And there were other provinces like Judea, Samaria, you know, only 600 talents. I can't imagine the number. Right, some scholars say in today's language it will be around 12, it will be around 1 billion USD, US dollars. You know, he was just literally taking things away from God. In those days, to buy a servant was only one talent. That was the amount, right, that was needed to buy a servant or a slave for yourself. So this man was taking 10,000. In other words, you know, he cannot be forgiven at all. There is no way he is going to repay back. Can you imagine? He is asking the master. What is he asking the master? If you look at the verse very carefully, in verse, he says, Lord, have patience on me. Can you imagine? He doesn't even ask for forgiveness. He doesn't say, Lord, forgive me. He's saying, Lord, be patient with me. In other words, he's saying, Lord, give me time. He can never pay back because one talent is 20 years of work. And this guy has taken 10,000 talents and he's asking the master, give me time. Let me tell you, 10 years is not going to help him. 20 years is not going to help him, my friend. But he's just saying, Lord, give me time. He was not sincere. Right? He was not sincere. He was, you know, he was not sincere to the Lord. But the Lord was so, you know, so good to him. Right? The Lord forgave him. Look at the word very carefully, you know, like, you know, when you look at it, forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. Because this servant fell on the knees before him and he said, be patient, right? He begged and I'll pay you. And he paid back everything. Come on. He says, you know, I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt and let him go. You know, I was asking myself, a couple of questions was coming when I was preparing the sermon. I was asking myself, why did this master forgive him? One thing I realized, maybe the master forgave him because the servant came to him and said, Lord, have pity on me. Right? Have pity on me. He was just literally begging him and saying, Lord, have pity on me. I need. And maybe because of that, but I think the real answer is not because of the man came with pity, but I think it shows about God's greatness, right? It's the love of God, right? The master could have easily said, you know, let me have a payment plan with you. Okay, this is the way you're going to pay me back. There was no payment plan, right? He just took pity on him and canceled the debt. Can you imagine? You don't pay me anything. I don't need anything from you. Right? And he let him go. It is not because the man was just coming. It could be because he was asking for mercy. The master could have easily said, yes, I'll have mercy and I give you time and this is how you pay or this is how much I want. But this passage talks to us, you know, it's about God's greatness upon us. God is full of love, my friend, that we cannot experience this, you know, we cannot be forgiven because that's the amount that we owe to him. It will take more than 20 years or 40 years. It's much more. Right? There is no time limit for us. There's no time for us that we can take to pay God. God has actually forgiven us from the huge debt. Sometimes I think God, you know, we are not even indebted to God because I think that's more than debt. Because debt is something you can pay back. This man was literally robbing from God. And many a times as Christians, we rob God, my friend. But God takes it and makes it into a debt. We rob God of all the things that he has done. But God says, it's okay, and I put it as a debt. A debt is something payable. And he forgives us. An unpayable debt by us. It is free, but it is not cheap, right? Why should the master pay? Can you imagine he's going to lose 10,000 talents? Right? As I said, in Samaria, it was only 600 or 300 talents a year. He's going to lose a lot of things. It's not cheap. It's not cheap, but the master was so gracious. Similarly, my friend, I think, you know, it's not cheap, but I think God is willing to cancel everything, right? That shows God's greatness. Secondly, when you look at it, you know, can you imagine, right? The master's servant took pity and canceled and let him go. Everything was paid in full. That's the way the Lord deals with us, right? He pays everything in full. And even today, you and I, if we're suffering with forgiveness and say, the Lord says, you know, I want to pay it full for you. Not that I will give you time and say, you know, I give you 1 month to repent and all that. But when you come with a repentant heart, the Lord is willing to forgive. And you do it again, the Lord is willing to forgive, my friend. He's willing to pay. And when God pays, he pays it in full. Right? When God forgives, he forgives in full. In Romans 5:8, a very familiar passages for us, right? We have read passages of this nature. When God shows his love upon us, right? We were yet sinners, but Christ died for us. And so God's forgiveness, and he pays everything in full. Can you imagine, you know, the man leaves the place, how happy he should be, right? Can you imagine, you know, your bank tells you, you know, you don't pay your mortgage. Wow. I think it calls for a celebration. Right, we will go to Florida for holidays because that's a nice place to be at this time of the year. Right? Can you imagine? So this man should be so excited, right? Going out, you know, I've been forgiven. But what was happening? Right? He goes out, but he's not forgiving to others. He received forgiveness, which was not cheap. And everything was taken away. Right? Everything, in other words, every debt that he owed was taken away from him. It was more than debt. He was just literally robbing the master. And the master was willing to cancel everything and say, you go in peace. Right? But what is happening here? He's forgiven, but he's not forgiving. Right? So when the servant went out, I was just trying to imagine myself, right, going out. My bank tells me, by the way, my mortgage is with Scotia Bank. So if they say, you know, you don't need to pay, let me tell you, for a moment, I will not drive my car. I'll be just sitting down in my car, just enjoying, you know, just breathing the fresh air. You know, this man went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. you know, not much. Not even a fraction of the 10,000. Maybe a couple of hundreds of dollars. That's all. Can you imagine? Just a couple of hundreds of dollars, right? And what did he do? Right? He grabbed him. Can you imagine? He grabbed that man and began to choke him. In other words, he was showing his vengeance on him. He was showing his anger towards him for a couple of hundreds of dollars. But he was forgiven everything, right? And so he's here choking this guy. And not only that, what is he doing? He said, pay back what you owe me. He demanded. And his fellow servants fell on his knees and begged. He said, patient with me. Almost the same prayer this man was doing. Can you imagine? For a moment I was thinking, when this man was saying, be patient, he should have realized this was the same prayer that I was making to my master, and my master was willing to forgive me. Right? He's hearing the same prayer. And this man was sincere. He said, and I'll pay it back. Previously, this guy was saying, I will pay everything back. But this man was much more honest, and he says, I'll pay you back. I do not know whether I will pay everything back, but I'll pay you back. But this guy was forgiven, right? He told the master, I will pay everything back. As if he is going to pay back. He is not able to pay back everything. But this guy says, I'll just pay back. What's happening? He says he refuses. He refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt, my friend. Can you imagine? He's forgiven. He doesn't see the magnitude of God's forgiveness. He doesn't see, you know, how much he has been forgiven. Oh, God has been so good to him. The master has been so good to him. He has literally robbed the master for years. For not only a particular year, for years he had been robbing the master. But even then, the master was so good to him. Because it reflects about the master. But this man was not, right? He was not willing to forgive. Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 6, right? Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. I know it's difficult for us to forgive, right? It's difficult for us. That's why the Lord says, you know, vengeance is mine in Romans, if you read it very carefully, right? Vengeance is mine, right? Do not take vengeance. But then he says, vengeance is mine, when you read in Romans. So in other words, just leaving it to God and saying, Lord, you take care, right? I just release it to you. Forgiveness in this text means just leaving it away, giving it away, right? And so that's what is expected. So this man did not want to forgive. Lastly, what's the price of unforgiveness? In verse 32, the man called the servant in, the master called the servant in, and he said, you wicked servant, right? I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured, right? Until he could pay all he owed. You know, and when I was looking at these words, I think it tells us very clearly, right? Sometimes I was asking myself, you know, the master is so forgiving, right? He could have actually forgiven him one more time. One more time, right? Right? No, because Jesus is teaching about 70 times 7, right? So maybe one more time. But Jesus wanted us to say, you know, look at the parable in a different way altogether. He wants us to see that God has been so merciful to us, and God expects us to be merciful to others, my friend. And that's what God is expecting us. And here we also see that God is just. That's the righteousness of God. That's the holiness of God, my friend. And God has given him time. God given him, right? God has shown his patience on him, his mercy upon this man. it teaches us that, you know, God is also just on us, that he wants us to be like him. And so in 2 Peter, if you read chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but impatient towards us, right? So God is so patient towards us. He's given us time, right? The word here, right, to be tortured, could mean two ways. Firstly, it could also mean that, you know, when you don't forgive someone, you're actually torturing yourself, right? You're thinking of it. You're chewing at that matter. It comes back again and again to you, right? Whenever you pray, when you're reading the Bible, it comes back. That situation comes back, you know, because you have difficulty to let go. And in the Greek language, it also can mean like that, you know, to be tortured. In other words, you are actually self-inflicting yourself with all these things. It bothers you. It troubles you. At the same time, it could also mean, you know, that God shows his just towards us. Right? His righteousness towards us, that we are in the final condemnation because we have not shown God's love, God's forgiveness. Right? If we are really sincere about God's forgiveness in our life, we have experienced God's love in our life, we will tend to show that to others too. As I said, you know, today I know it's not a good day to have a long sermon, so I'm going to finish with an illustration. Right? When you receive a post like this, I think many of you will be afraid, right? From the lawyer's office, if you receive a express post, what do you do? Right? Those who have mortgages, those who are working, you know, those who are paying huge bills, you know, immediately you're afraid. Let me tell you, if I see something from a lawyer's office, I'll be afraid because firstly, I would make sure, you know, look at my accounts to see whether I've paid all my bills, right? Whether my mortgages have been paid and all that. Imagine if I owe someone, right? And then I realize, you know, from the lawyer's office, I've received a notice. And I know a couple of our people are lawyers here too. I was reading a story about this lawyer, this attorney. He had a couple of people who owed him money for 6 months, right? And so one day he was sitting in his office. He was having his devotion. And when he was having his devotion, what was happening? You know, he was meditating on certain scripture passages. And then the Lord started to speak to him about forgiveness. And so he felt compelled within his heart. He felt, you know, God is wanting me to forgive. And so he drafted a letter, right? He drafted a letter because there were around 17 of them who owed him money. The past 6 months, they did not pay. By the way, I'm not telling lawyers who, you know, to do this. But, you know, but what was happening here, he drafted a letter explaining his decision, you know, the biblical context, why he wants to forgive them. You know, he's telling them, you need not pay for the fees that, you know, you owe me and all that, you know. Because when I was reading the scripture, the Lord spoke to me. So he was just drafting a letter, and finally when it was done, he sent it by the postal service that we just look at the screen today. He sent it to 17 of them. But to his surprise, 16 of the envelopes returned. Right? It either was undelivered, it said the person was not there, right? It was unsigned, it came back. Only one was taken. And he was surprised because, you know, and why? Because I think some people, when you see the lawyer's letter, you don't want to acknowledge because you're afraid. If I sign, I acknowledge receipt of the document. So, you know, I'm answerable. And so many of them said, you know, the person is not there. So, you know, all these kind of excuses were given. And I think, and so he realized there's only one who got back. One replied, and the others came undelivered or it was not signed. So when I was reading the story, I was telling myself, you know, how profound it is because, right, because they thought this lawyer is suing them. They thought it's a final notice. They thought they would be pulled to the court, and that's why they were afraid. But they did not realize inside the letter, it was a letter of forgiveness. A letter which said, you know, your debts are all taken away. I've actually forgiven you. You know, when I was reading this story, I was telling myself, you know, many times we are like that, right? God wants to forgive us. God says, you know, I want to forgive you. Just open my letter, right? Open and say, this is the way I want to forgive you. And this is how I forgive you. You know, I want to be forgiving. I want you to show, to experience my love. But many a times, you know, as the 16 people were not willing to acknowledge the letter, we don't want to acknowledge, right? We don't want to even open the letter and to see. But let me encourage you today, my friend, God forgives us, right? The Word of God tells us very vividly. And so sometimes we don't even ask God for forgiveness because we think, you know, God will not forgive. But God says, I want to forgive you. Because that's God's nature, right? We should not be forgiven because the amount of sins we have done, my friend, 10,000 talents. It takes maybe longer than we live in this world to pay back. But God cancels everything for us. And He says, just go. That's the kind of forgiveness that you and I receive. If I've really experienced God's forgiveness and love in my life, let me tell you, God wants us. It is difficult, but God wants us to show forgiveness. So the next time when you use the word forgive, I want you to know that God's forgiveness is much more greater. Much more greater in our lives. God loves us. Let's pray. As I said many a times when I look at this passage, I tell myself, this master should not forgive him. You know why? This man was robbing God. He was literally robbing God. But the master was willing to make it a debt. To forgive him. The master could have said, you know, you have been robbing me for all these years. But whatever we have done, God has made it into a debt. And He's willing to pay everything for us. There's no payment plan, but He says, I've given myself to you. Dear friends, forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. You know what? It took the life of Jesus Christ to forgive us. Why should He? It was not His failure. It was not His mistake. Why should Christ die for us? That's the love of God. Sometimes we think, you know, forgiveness is free. And it's cheap. It's not cheap, my friend. It costs the life of the Son of God. Sometimes we struggle to forgive. The Lord says, you know, just let it go and let me take control of that. As Romans says, do not revenge. Vengeance is mine, God says. Just leave it to Him. Because God wants us to have peace in our life. He doesn't want us to live a life with hurts, with difficult feelings. He wants us to live a life of forgiveness, of joy, of happiness. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you, Lord, that each and every moment, God, we can come to you. Help us, Lord, to know how deep we have been forgiven, O Guru. How wonderful is your love towards us. We are not worthy, Lord, to be forgiven. We have robbed you, God. But you are willing to forgive us. Lord, help us, Lord, to be like you. Give us your strength, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.